right, joining us right now, Alderman Ray Lopez from Chicago, 15th Ward in Chicago. There is news today. The Alderman's house has been vandalized, a brick thrown into the house, and also a fire set near your garage. Alderman, let's start with the brick. Where did the brick go, and was your family ever in danger?
Well, good evening, Ro. We had actually four bricks thrown at my house. We had a gentleman who literally was casing the block, casing my house, walked right up to my front door and started throwing the bricks in from there and made three more attempts, and only one of them was successful. Obviously, my entire family was home. Our pets were home. But thankfully, no one was injured. And then an hour after this transpired, we believe the same individual with a friend showed up thinking that they were going to torch my garage, but actually ended up damaging my neighbor's garage, unfortunately.
What time did this happen? What time of day?
The brick started flying at about 1:15 in the morning, and the fire started at about 2:10 in the morning.
And do you have video of this? Do you have security cameras?
We have security cameras. We were able to capture the frontal attack on the house with the bricks from two different angles. Unfortunately, we could not see anybody in our alley because of the way our cameras are positioned, mm-hmm. but we did manage to catch the giant fireball that erupted because of the amount of gasoline or whatever accelerant they used on my neighbor's garage.
Yeah,
we are happy to know that a number of my neighbors also have cameras, and I'm sure that they will be helpful as well.
Right, and there's a whole city system, too, of this. Police are investigating, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, the police did a wonderful job showing up. The detectives units were there last night and again today, and the gang investigation unit also is on hand, putting their expertise to identify whomever may be responsible.
Okay, so you have a theory on this, though. You think this is gang retaliation?
I am 100% confident this is gang retaliation. We have been stepping up our efforts in recent weeks trying to address the violence in my community as we've seen violence escalate throughout the entire city. One of the main tenets of our strategy is to go after those enabling landlords, those slumlords or absentee landlords that mm-hmm. rent indiscriminately to gangbangers and hold them accountable for the actions of their tenants, particularly when they terrorize the community.
Right.
Earlier that day, I was at a block where we had gotten calls of about a gang house where a 16-year-old juvenile recently released because of COVID was back on the block and running the guns and shooting at people week after week. So we had already made contact and were working with the owners to address the situation. And while I was on the block attempting to continue that dialogue, four other households of gang members came out trying to intimidate and harass me while I was there, making it known in no uncertain terms that they were the ones who decide whether or not there's peace in the neighborhood, not someone like myself.
Yeah.
So I know it's not coincidental that the same day we had that altercation that all of this madness ensued.
Yeah, and so you guys were all at home, and you heard this developing? Is that you heard the bricks being thrown at your house, and did you go to... What did you do? I just want to get a little sense of the moment here for you and your family. So did you then go downstairs? What happened?
It all happened so quickly at that point. Like, in under 30 seconds, the bricks were flying at my house. And at first, the first brick... which was right from the front door, my mother-in-law actually thought perhaps maybe one of the dogs knocked something over. You know, we're a big dog family. I have six dogs.
Oh, boy.
So it's not uncommon for a dog to get up and, you know, do something.
Yes.
But when the next brick came through the window and subsequent others hit the house, you know, it became obvious that something else was going on. She was able to see the individual fleeing. But, you know, police were immediately called and they were on scene relatively quickly while we were trying to figure out the who, what, where's and accessing the cameras to see what we could see.
Got it. Yeah. And Can you hold on 1 second for me? Because I want to continue on with this about what is happening in your neighborhood. What is happening in the places that you are trying to get some sort of stability and pacify, and what help you need to do that? I want to talk to you about that if you got a few more minutes for me.
Anything for you, Ro.
Thank you, Alderman. Appreciate it. Alderman Ray Lopez is with us. We'll come right back and take your phone calls, too, 312-981-7200. But first, here's Lauren Lapka, roads and the skies, which are getting worse.
COVID-19 almost had Fernando Jones singing the blues, but he won't let coronavirus stop the music. Blues Camp lives tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
I know what you're saying. Who writes this stuff? Hey, what was that?
I don't know.
All right, just watch it. All right, we're talking to Alderman Ray Lopez, who had his house, he had bricks thrown at his house, and then someone attempted to torch his garage, but then torched the wrong garage. Well, at least that's what we assume here, because the garage got torched right after that as well. And you believe, Alderman, as we were just saying, that these may be gang forces, because you, on the same day, had a gang confrontation with some gang leaders about who was actually in control of the block. But you've also, you know, been in the news a lot. There has been a lot, especially when we had all of the unrest at the beginning of June, end of May, beginning of June, and you were were on that conference call or whatever the hell that thing was with the mayor, and there was all this. There was there was some yelling back and forth, and there was some name calling, and I just wonder where do you think we are in this city in terms of getting a handle on this? We had one of the worst weekends in memory this last weekend in terms of what 94 people had turned out total shot over the weekend. And your neighborhoods on the southwest and west side are certainly not immune to this. What do you think we should do?
Well, I think definitely it feels like Chicago is a ship without a rudder. I think many people feel like we're just kind of listing from crisis to crisis without actually having a legitimate plan to move forward and address the issues that are going on. I know that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. What we see a lot from this administration is making what's old new again and trying to put their personal stamp on things. But we know that there are real, easy, legitimate solutions that are proven from years of practice that can reduce the violence and help put us back on a stable track. We can end the uncertainty by focusing again on quality of life issues, on dealing with gangs and violence head on, and more importantly, taking ownership of the problems we have. You know, right now it seems like every time something goes wrong, someone somewhere is just, you know, throwing out a tweet or a barb to a press release, blaming someone else. You know, we're not a city of blamers. We're a city of results. And, you know, we made great results over the past few years in attacking the gang issue in my ward. When I was elected alderman, it was one of the most dangerous wards in the city, with a couple of the dangerous communities out of the 77 neighborhoods in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But we were steady, we were methodical, and we were consistent in what we did in addressing those issues. And we made significant improvements to our crime stats.
Okay, so what would we do? Let's talk about real
specifics.
Specifics. What would you do?
I mean, what we could do is quite simple. First off, when gang violence erupts, you have to call it out in no uncertain terms. We can't beat around the bush, and we can't, you know, try to do this kumbaya, mamby-pamby approach to violence reduction. You have to call out the devil in your midst. You also have to call out the enablers, whether it's the tenants, whether it's the landlords that the gang tenants are renting from, whether it's businesses that give them refuge, or whether it's organizations that make excuses and try to defend them. You know, we are doing a lot now with violent interruption groups and community outreach groups. And in some cases, you know, there was an example in my ward when the ATF agent was shot twice in the face. We had violence interrupters who were paid by the city of Chicago, went to court and acted as character witnesses for the shooter. I mean, come on, which side are you working for?
Yeah.
We have to be rowing in one direction, and that is to provide safety to our neighborhoods. And the moment we stop making excuses for the bad behavior and dealing with those people who are 100% committed to never changing, we will be in to be able to make a significant dent in our crime in our city, because all those people on the periphery who just have nowhere to go will then turn back towards a lifestyle that is more acceptable. Right now, the pull from those magnets of violence in our neighborhoods is so great that if we don't break it, we're going to lose more and more people, and we're going to continue to see the violence out of control. We're going to continue to see revenge violence more and more, which is what we see a lot of as of late. And we're going to see a city that looks like it's on the brink of uncertainty and destruction because we don't have a plan to move forward.
Yeah. It's an argument that we were having nationally about, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, all that sort of thing. And then one of the issues that I think that Chicagoans know, these are very localized issues. 8% of the blocks are responsible for 80% of the violent crime in Chicago. And police know where those blocks are. Aldermen know where those blocks are. The social workers know where they are. And it's about getting to those folks, as you just pointed out. I think you're 100% right. You do have to call it out when you see it, but you also have to make those people who will cooperate with the gangs or are softer members of the gangs, because you have to really look at that. There's hardcore guys, and then right. There's people who just identify because they live in that neighborhood. Now, the gangbangers are always in that neighborhood. The police are not always in that neighborhood. On any given block, as you were just talking about, when you went on a block and you got into a fight with these guys, the fact is, Alderman, that those guys live on that block. And the people who have to walk down that block to go to work or school or whatever it happens to be, they know those guys live in the block. The cops aren't living on that block. They don't have a police car stationed there every day at the same time every day. And so this isn't really about black and blue and whether or not police are doing the right thing or the wrong thing. In most of cases, this is about the fact that there's an actual fortress, a gang fortress on any given block. Right, that is controlling, it's like a castle, it's controlling what happens.
On the block that I mentioned, when the additional households came out to address me, it wasn't one person per household. We had four or five people spilling out like cockroaches out of these gang houses to try and make their presence known. And if you are a resident, that means you have to go past these people. You have to hope that they recognize you when you come home out of fear that they might shoot you because they don't recognize you. And you have to pray that when your kids go to school, that they're not being taunted or recruited by their neighbors, whom in many cases they've grown up with.
Right. Right, and they get to a certain age, and then it just becomes a part of the recruitment process. And it was when they're 14, they're going to make a decision. Right. Sometimes when they're 12, they have to make a soft decision.
You know, in my neighborhood, the gangs are recruiting in elementary schools.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that has been happening. But it's about, when they really do make the decision. And that's where the break point seems to be, at least according to the research. 12 to 14 years old is a break point where, and again, think about this. Just think about this. All these families who, all of you out there who are listening to this right now, and you've got 12 or 14 year olds at home, and you're thinking that the 12 year old sometimes can't even still figure out how to tie their shoes, right? They know how to do it, but they don't want to do it. And, these are not your problems in your neighborhood. But in the neighborhoods that we're talking about here, including the Alderman's neighborhood, those 12-year-olds are stuck with a decision that is not something that their parents can necessarily help them with, which is, are they going to identify just long enough to get down the block? And then are they going to get lured into the lifestyle because there's some people who think it's cool?
And that doesn't even take into account, Rob, the fact that we have parents who are actively training their children.
Yeah.
To be in this lifestyle.
Right. Well, there's
we have grandparents and parents and children all in one house wearing the gang colors and the mullet and learning how to pose with their gang signs on Facebook.
Right. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So it's about blowing up those institutions. It's interrupting that cycle. And that is, I think, and I know you said that there are some solutions. I like your idea is to look at this differently. And I get that. And I think to be honest about it and not try to make it gooey and like, oh, well, it's going to be okay. It's, if there were just more resources in the neighborhood, there's some truth to that, but that's not the solution because you could put as many resources as you want. You could literally put a Starbucks on every corner and a Whole Foods and then a gym or whatever it is, like, you got in Lincoln Park. You could do that. But unless you have people who find a way to work in the legit economy, being able to right. then spend their legit money there. They're not going to do it because those who are working in this economy, the economy of drugs and violence and gun running and all the other stuff, and, you know, snatch and grabs, robberies, all the ways that those guys make their money, then you're living. There's two completely different rails here. And that's, I keep talking right. about this because we are not looking at the real problem. And I'm glad, Alderman. I know that, you know, you and the mayor and everybody gets along and all that, but whatever. We got it. You're
what
right.
What are you talking about? We're best friends.
We got to row in the right direction. I like the fact that you use the word row. We got to row in the right direction here, Alderman. And I hope you and your husband and mother-in-law, everybody, and the dogs are all safe in your house. And I don't want to see this kind of stuff deteriorate here, even worse in Chicago, that we now have public officials that are getting targeted because you represent us. Right. I mean, right. that's the thing. Whether people voted for you, they didn't vote for you, for those 4 years, you represent them. And if you can't be safe, and if the people on the street who are going to respond to this stuff, police, firefighters, paramedics, whatever, they can't be safe, it's anarchy here. So we
Correct.
Do need to get a hold of this thing. I hope they're able to find the folks who perpetrated this. And we wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much, Alderman. We'll talk to you again
soon.
Thanks, Rob. All right.
You guys have a great one.
Thank you, Alderman Ray Lopez. Harrowing story there about someone trying to set his garage on fire, throwing bricks through his house. And the thing about the garage fire is it happened to his neighbor, not to him. And they assume, I think probably accurately, that the whole reason that garage caught fire is that they just had the wrong garage. That's a Chicago story for you. Okay, let's talk about college next. Ryan Burrow is going to join us coming up in a few minutes from WGN News and news director of WGN Radio News. How about that? Congratulations to him. I just saw that. He's working on a story today about Notre Dame. Notre Dame, if kids are going to Notre Dame this fall, Notre Dame is planning to open. If you are going to be matriculating or your kids are going to be matriculating to Notre Dame or maybe some other colleges, they're going to send an at-home COVID test for the kids first. How's that going to work? We'll find out. But first, we got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here is Kim Gordon.